In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN. Sitting here at my Central Valley Sports Report table at First String Sports in the Letterman's Jacket Room. They got a really cool sign here. When you walk in on the right-hand side of First String Sports, there is like one of those old neon signs. Looks like an old diner. It says Letterman's Jackets. You know exactly where to go. It's a room off to the side, right-hand side. And yeah, this is the place to be. This is show number 33 for me. And every show has been here at First String Sports in this room. Letterman's Jacket Room is awesome. It has a great ambiance. Looking at Buchanan, Clovis North, Kingsbury, Letterman's Jacket, Sierra. They're all up here on the wall. I do a Facebook Live deal. So if you're my friend on Facebook, I guess you can watch the live action, and you can see all the behind the scenes things too. So yeah, First String Sports, want to definitely thank them and come on down here. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today. The last couple days have been record high temperatures here in the Central Valley. I think we reached 95 degrees. Had to turn on the air conditioner when I got home. It looks like today is going to be a high of 81. The rest of the week is going to be in the 70s during spring break. And yeah, if you see a little spring in teachers' steps yesterday, that was because spring break has started. Also with the students, I got two daughters that go to Bullard High School, and they're pretty excited. And I'm a teacher as well. And yesterday was a really good day, knowing that we're going to have next week off, and then usually that following Monday, the day after Easter. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report every Saturday from 10 to 12. We talk about high school sports. This 1430 ESPN has made a concentrated effort to be the high school sports leader. We've been broadcasting baseball games for the last few weeks. There was one yesterday between Clovis North and Clovis West that was broadcasted by Jose Gonzalez from the Jose Gonzalez Show and Mike Brink. Game won by Clovis West 6-5. And then next week, I think there's at least two games that we are broadcasting. The Fresno Easter Classic is going to be a big one, a big tournament here. And speaking of the Fresno Easter Classic, I guess I should say who's coming on the show. So at 10:30, well, let me go back a little bit. Doing my annual talk with Gabe Camarillo, who produces the show at 10:19, talk about all the things going on with high school. We're going to be breaking out a couple baseball games, talking, previewing the Easter Classic with Gabe. There's a special game that's on the schedule that I know you guys are going to be excited about. It's going to be played on Tuesday. We'll be talking about that game. Always enjoy my conversations with Gabe. At 10:30, we have our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, a baseball player from Buchanan, Max Bernal, first baseman, pitched a lot last year, but it's a good thing for Buchanan. They don't need him as much on the mound this year, going to Cal State Bakersfield on a baseball scholarship. So around 10:30 or so, Max is going to come on the show. At the top of hour number two, a little after 11 o'clock, I'm going to be talking with Jason Pappy, the head coach of Fresno High, and the Fresno Easter Classic. That's his baby. That's his tournament that's been run for over 50 years. It's a tournament that's all over the valley in Fresno, I should say, in Fresno and Clovis. I think they share seven different venues for this. The name Pappy is just legendary here in the Central Valley. Obviously, his dad Ken was the longtime coach there, and then Jason took over. There's Uncle Stan, who played in the big leagues for five seasons. So I'm very excited to talk about Jason. This is his first time on the Central Valley Sports Report. So I'll be coming up at a little after 11 o'clock. At the bottom of hour number two, Mark Tennis of Cal High Sports is going to be sharing his state rankings with us. I talk about Cal High Sports a lot on this show. They do a phenomenal job with their state rankings. There are two teams in the central section that are ranked in the top 25 right now in baseball, Buchanan and Stockdale. In softball, there is a new number one. right here in the central section, Clovis North. Clovis North volleyball, or softball is having a phenomenal year, and the main reason is their pitcher, Ryan Maddox. And Ryan Maddox had one of the greatest softball games. It has to be. And Mark Tennis is the perfect person to talk about, but Ryan Maddox had one of the greatest pitching performances of all time in the state. Has to be. 21 outs, 21 strikeouts, zero walks in a 1-0 win. Only allowed one hit, and that was at the top of the seventh inning. It was a bunt single. She moved to second. The Clovis West girl moved to second on a stolen base. But Ryan Maddox clutched up and got the last hitter on a strikeout. So I'll be talking with Mark Tennis about where that game ranks in the history of Central Section softball and the state softball. And then another interesting tidbit that I'm really looking forward to is that Mark and I are going to be talking about the greatest Central Section baseball teams in state history. So let me give you a little bit of preview, a little bit of a tease here. There's a Clovis team, there's a Bullard team, there's a Buchanan team, and there's a Fresno High team. I'm not going to tell you which ones are ranked where. When we get into that, we're going to be talking about some of the star players on that team and some of the reasons for his rankings. But, yeah, I'm very excited to have this conversation with Mark Tennis. So that's coming up a little after 11:30. So, again, Mark Tennis, 11:30, Jason Pappy, a little after 11, and Max Bernal around 10:30. I want to mention here some baseball scores that have been completed over this last week. Now, the track plays three games in 1 week. All other conferences play two games. So they play three games, and it's the same team. So it's basically a series. Buchanan swept Clovis East 12-4, 9-0, and 9-1. Clovis West and Clovis North, we mentioned their game yesterday. The Clovis West won 6-5. Clovis West took 2 out of 3. They had some really, really good battles, and I'm excited to talk about those games with Gabe Camarillo. And Clovis High took on Central, and the Cougars took 2 out of 3 from the Grizzlies. In the CMAC, they play two games a week. I'm just going to mention the standings right now in the CMAC. Bullard leads at 6-1. San Joaquin Memorial at 5-2. Sanger is 4-3. And that one loss that Bullard has is actually from Sanger. Edison is 3-4. Madera South, 2-5. And Madera is 1-6. In the Central Sequoia League, Emmanuel leads. They're 8-7 overall. They're 4-1 in league. Kingsburg is also 4-1. Emmanuel beat Kingsburg in a really good game last week. And I want to mention Emmanuel again. If you listened to the show last week, I had Tim Thiessen and his son Kip Thiessen on the show. Kip is now the head coach at Emmanuel. It's his first year. Tim Thiessen, you know, you talk about the name Pappy and you know, you talk about, you know, the Patricks, Clovis, and, you know, Clovis West, and you know, how they're synonymous with Central Valley baseball. Well, the Thiessens are as well. We had a really good conversation with Tim and Kip last week. I had him on for two different segments and talked with Tim about his history in the minor leagues and Fresno State, and then with Kip and how he learned from his dad and all those values that he's instilling in his program. So you can go back and listen if you missed it. Could go back to the 1430 ESPN website, and you can go back and listen to all the shows. So just go to the Central Valley Sports Report under podcasts, and you can download all the shows and listen to whatever you want. So, yeah, Emmanuel's leading 4-1 in the division. Kingsburg 4-1. Selma is 3-2. Central Valley Christian is 3-2. Exeter is 2-3. Dinuba is 1-4. And Hanford West is 0-5. Now, we are obviously in the middle of baseball season for high school, Major League Baseball. MLB had their opening day on Thursday, had some games yesterday as well. And I haven't been excited for Major League Baseball as much as I am this year in a long time. And yesterday, there was a really good game between the Giants and the Marlins. And Dwayne Kuiper in that 10th inning, just had a phenomenal call, didn't he? If you guys listened to the game, when Austin Slater hit that double down the line and Darren Ruff was on first base, and you hear Dwayne Kuiper go, "Darren Ruff is on the move." He said it three times, and it was just a great call. That was fun to watch. I got home and turned on the TV and was able to watch the Giants broadcast on TV. So, yeah, obviously 1430 ESPN is home of the San Francisco Giants. You can listen to all their games here. And Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko, they are the gold standard, I think, right now in Major League Baseball. I'm a Dodger fan, and Vin Scully will always be my guy because Vinny is the best. And I think even Giant fans recognize that. But as a Dodger fan, I could recognize how great Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko are, and obviously John Miller. But, yeah, what a great fun call that was in the Giants' opening season win against the Marlins. Speaking of opening day, I want to mention here, too, some of our Central Section players that are in the major leagues right now. Connor Brogdon from Liberty Madera, and by way of Fresno State, he's on the Phillies, made the Phillies as a relief pitcher, so congrats to Connor. And Corbin Burnes is one of the top pitchers in baseball. He's one of the favorites to win the Cy Young Award this year, if you look at the odds. Not condoning any betting, but hey, if you happen to look at those things, Corbin Burnes is one of the top guys to win the Cy Young Award this year. And he's from Centennial and High in Bakersfield. I don't know if a lot of people understand that, but yeah, he's from Bakersfield, and he had that incredible season last year where he had one stretch where he struck out 10 consecutive batters, a major league record against the Chicago Cubs. He actually broke the major league record at the beginning of the year for the most strikeouts to begin a season before issuing a walk, 58 strikeouts in a row before he walked his first batter. Corbin Burnes from Centennial High. Jordan Luplo from Buchanan and Fresno State. He's starting the season on the IL, unfortunately, but he is on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And a fan favorite of the show, Stephen Vogt, who I did a huge interview with back in December. Just an incredible guy from Central Valley Christian, went and played at Azusa, two-time All-Star with the Oakland A's. Well, he's returned. He's back with the Oakland A's. He's on their roster this year. He was on the Atlanta Braves last year and was a member of the World Series championship team. So, yeah, Stephen Vogt. And then Justin Wilson from Buchanan threw a perfect inning in the season opener for the Cincinnati Reds. So Justin has found his way to the Reds this year. I also want to mention Dylan Lee from Dinuba High and from COS and Fresno State. He was actually optioned to AAA. He's on the Braves roster, but it got optioned down. He started a game in the World Series for the Braves, only got one out. They used him as an opener. So Dylan Lee has been optioned to the Braves. All right, we're already against the break here. I want to mention, too, one last thing before we go to break, is that Sunnyside trainer April Johnson was selected by the National Athletic Trainers Association at the 2021-2022 Most Valuable High School Athletic Trainer. There's only one in the nation. Right here in the Central Section, Sunnyside. So congrats to April Johnson. All right. Coming up after the break, I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about all the things that are happening, all the games that have been played, and preview a few games here. So coming up, Gabe Camarillo on the Central Valley Sports Report on ESPN 1430. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Matters, a little chubby checker. All right, good call there, Gabe. Classic. I want to mention something, too, that I forgot in the opening segment. Carruthers had a tragedy happen in their community, but like a lot of our communities do around here, they clutched up, they came together. 13-year-old Connor Gamboa, who's a huge fan of the basketball programs at Carruthers, he would record video highlights for the kids and pass them on to the players. He just loved everything about Carruthers. He unfortunately passed away following a baseball game that he played in on March 31st. Just an incredibly sad and tragic event that happened. However, on Wednesday, the community raised over $8,000 for the family by celebrating his love of sports by holding a free throw-a-thon at the high school. His favorite player was Morgan Trujillo, and Morgan had a special relationship with this kid, with Connor. And instead of shooting free throws, Morgan decided to shoot three-pointers only and made 32 of 50 and made up to $100 per three-pointer made. So our condolences go to the Carruthers community and to the family of Connor Gamboa. just awful, and just reminds us again how life is precious and how we need to hug our kids and to love on our kids and say I love you to our family as much as possible, and even to our friends as well, because life is certainly precious. So Connor Gamboa and his family, our condolences to you, but Carruthers, great job clutching up and helping out the family. I also want to mention too that my conversation with Mark Tenez, we're going to be talking about Brandon Crawford. Again, we are the flagship station for the San Francisco Giants, and Brandon Crawford was a really good quarterback back in the day for Foothill High School, and could have been a Division I recruit. So I'm excited to talk to Mark Tenez about Brandon Crawford. But bringing in Gabe Camarillo right now. Gabe does a phenomenal job producing the show, writes for Barkboard. If you follow him on Twitter, at Gabe Camarillo, he's always updating all kinds of sports up and down the Central Section, high school, Fresno State. He does it all. Gabe, welcome as always. Always love talking with you. Baseball and spring break are synonymous as well. We got some good ones coming up with the Easter Classic. But let's go back a little bit. We had some really good matchups in the track. We mentioned that Buchanan swept Clovis East, but that Clovis West and Clovis North series, that three-game series, yeah, that looked like a really, really good series. Pitching, great pitching matchups, some really tight ball games. What do you know about that series, Gabe?
Yeah, 3-1 run ball games. That's all you got to know. Great pitching, as you said. Last night was a good matchup between Colin DeBoard and Tyler Patrick. But Clovis West was able to pull that victory out last night and win the series. But just looking at the whole span of this week, what we've seen from Clovis North and Clovis West, Clovis North looks like a very different team than what we saw at the beginning of the year. I think Clovis North right now is playing its best baseball all year, and that's what you want to be able to do when it's league play. You want to be able to play your best ball against your track rivals. So by no means is Clovis North done. I mean, they're going to have competitive games against Clovis High and Central coming up, and I can see them taking one or two games from both of those opponents. Speaking of the Cougars and the Grizzlies, they also had a great series. Clovis High pulled that one out, two games out of three. I was at the game on Wednesday that Central won. Spolero was great. He did what he needed to do. Six innings, three earned runs, seven strikeouts, quality start from Spolero. The bats took care of the rest. But just for Central, I was kind of impressed with what I saw. They're a gritty squad. They have a really deep lineup. Dayton Tafoya is part of that lineup as a right fielder, outfielder. He really tracks balls well, and he's also a quarterback on the football team, I should mention. But also you got McCurley, Aaron McCurley. Aaron McCurley, Barajas. You have Michael Klein. Just these guys for Central are just studs. So I think Central's another team to look out for in the track. And Clovis High, they're no slouch either with Eli Henderson leading off all the time. But yeah, track baseball's here, and it's so fun to be able to go to these games. We've seen them in non-league play. We've seen them in what they call the preseason, play against other schools. But now we're seeing them play against each other, and it's just awesome.
And let's go back a little bit too, Gabe. You called the game on Wednesday between Central and Clovis. You mentioned Spolero pitched the Grizzlies to a victory in that game. But we drove down to Visalia. We took the 99, and we did the Kingsburg and CVC game that I haven't mentioned on the show yet. And Kingsburg looked really good in that game. They beat CVC 6-0 behind the pitching of Ethan Winslow. That name sounds familiar. He was the quarterback on the Kingsburg Viking football team that had a really good season. They got placed, fortunately they played Bullard. They were the fourth seed and played Bullard in the semifinals in Division II. Ethan Winslow, he's a big boy, man. He's a really good athlete down there in Kingsburg, and he pitched a complete game shutout. I think, maybe 92 pitches? Is that what we remember in that game? But Ethan Winslow and Kingsburg, they look like a really strong team, don't they?
They do. Ethan Winslow's great. Just a great overall athlete, kind of like Dayton Tafoya, right? A football, baseball, two-sport athlete, but also want to give love to Hirschhorn. Houston Hirschhorn had a great game. He's another big guy. I mean, you just look at him and you're like, he's a sophomore? Like, he's huge, right? He muscles. He ripped two balls into the gap for a double and a triple. Also had a single. So he was a home run away from the cycle, you could say. But it was an amazing performance by Hirschhorn and Winslow. And, don't sleep on Kingsburg. They're going to be right there in the Central Sequoia League battling with Selma for that league crown.
And this coming week, is the Easter Classic. And I don't want to steal any thunder away from Jason Pappy, who's coming on the show a little after 11 o'clock and be talking about all the teams and what it takes to put together a tournament like this. But There's a couple games on this that's popping out to me, Gabe, and I know we're really excited. Games are going to be starting at 10 o'clock on Monday, and the final game starting at 7. So if you are a high school baseball fan, this is going to be a great week. But, Gabe, I think we're on the same page here. What game is popping out to you?
Oh, wow. It's all of it. So every time I talk to a Bullet player, I'm asking them, April 12th? And they know what I'm talking about. April 12th. Oh, when we play Buchanan. Oh, yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. Yeah, they're both. I think both sides are eager to play against each other. Every time they play, it's always great competition. Last year, Bullard beat Buchanan, handed them one of their only three losses all year at Bullard, at Mike Noakes Field. So now we see the return trip to Buchanan and the return of Tom Donald to the Buchanan Baseball Stadium, the same stadium where he led the Bears to all those Central Section championships not too long ago. So I think this has a lot going into it, a lot of emotion, a lot of rivalry between these two programs, because the players also have competed against each other outside of travel ball. You see them play against each other outside of high school baseball. But there's so much talent on the field. Max Bernal, Drew Smith, Cam Schneider, Trevor Wilson. Like, you have all these guys that are going to play college baseball on the field on Tuesday night. It's going to be a great one. And I also have to plug our guys. 1430 ESPN is going to be there to broadcast the game.
The flagship, the high school leader in Central Valley sports. Yep, 1430 will be broadcasting that game. That game's going to be at 7 o'clock at Buchanan Stadium. Venues, it's going to be at Fresno City College, Buchanan, Clovis High, Clovis East, Clovis North. Teams are going to be coming from up and down the state. So, yeah, really, really excited about that next week. Now, off the bench, which you can hear every Saturday from 2 to 4. They do their show at the Fieldhouse. Off the Bench tweeted something about some Central Section rule changes that are going to be heading into the 2022-2023 school year. A couple things that I think have been needed. Well, one for sure has been needed. The second one that I'm going to mention here, I don't know. I could go either way. And then the third one is something that definitely is needed. But the first item that is going to be changed for the 2022-2023 school year is teams for playoffs must win 30% of their games. The second point is all sports will now have a Division VI, and the dead period can now be any two consecutive weeks during the summer. Now, the 30% one, I'm definitely all on board with that. There was a football team that didn't win a game all season, actually got a bye. I think they were put in Division VI. They got a bye in their first week and then won their first game of the year, was in the playoffs, and they had a chance to win a Central Section championship with zero wins on the season. But yeah, the 30%, hey, I'm actually okay if that number was at 50%. But yeah, what are your thoughts, Gabe, about that, or even all sports having a Division VI, or the dead period being two consecutive weeks during the summer?
Yeah, I think the dead period's good. It's hard for a football coach to have to say, all right, we've done all this work in the summer, conditioning, strength, working out, weight room. Now let's stop for 2 weeks before we practice, right? Like, do you kind of, hurry up, wait. That's not good for high school athletes. I like the fact that they're going to let coaches move that around to where their schedule fits, so that way you don't have to have that happen. The six divisions is also a good rule for me, because I think not every sport having six divisions sometimes leave teams out. With basketball, right? I think there should have been six divisions, because there were some teams that almost won league titles that missed playoffs. So I think six divisions for basketball is going to be huge, because there are definitely six divisions worthy of basketball teams out there to make playoffs. But also, I'm interested to see how this new 30% rule affects how many teams make playoffs, because there would have been a couple teams that would not have made playoffs in this last basketball season if this rule was in place. I think you can call this the Pioneer Valley rule, because that's the football team you're talking about, Paul, that was winless in the regular season, made it all the way to the Central Section Championship, and had us confused all the way.
Yeah. There's even some districts out there that have, you got to win 50% of your league games to enter playoffs. So, yeah, we'll see how a lot of these things shake out. We've talked all year about playoffs and what works and what doesn't. And again, the CIF is doing all that they can to ensure that the kids have the best quality playoff experience and school experience as possible. Coming out of the pandemic, it hasn't been easy. On one hand, we're just excited that there are high school sports and that there were Central Section teams crowned champions. But on the other hand, there's got to be a little bit of balance, right? And so, yeah, Central Section is doing all they can. And again, it's easy to forget that all of this is voted on by athletic directors, and they have meetings on this stuff. It's not like the CIF is our dictators and they're saying, yeah, we decree that, you know, we are coming down hard on kids. You know, they definitely don't have that attitude. So that's always good to remember. So Gabe, thank you very much. Excited about next week. I'm sure I'll see you at least one or two games next week. So good job as always, my friend.
Absolutely. And yeah, you're right. There's no CIF dictatorship. I'm sure some people do think there is like a overlord of CIF high school sports. And I can guarantee you, Ryan Toss is the closest thing we have to it. And he's a lovable guy.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Gabe. Coming up after the break, we got Buchanan baseball player Max Bernal coming on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here on 1430 ESPN. Thanks again to Gabe Camarillo, producing the show. I had a great conversation with him in the last segment. Follow Gabe Camarillo on Twitter, at Gabe Camarillo, huh? Imagine that. You could also follow me on Twitter, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could follow the 1430 ESPN, at 1430 ESPN. Now comes to the part of the show where we highlight a student-athlete in the central section. And this is my first Buchanan baseball player that we've had. We got Max Bernal, three-year starter on varsity, right?
Yep.
Three-year player on varsity, headed to Cal State Bakersfield. He had a phenomenal week this week against Clovis East. We mentioned how the Bears swept the Timberwolves three games. But Max had himself quite a series. You know, I obviously follow Buchanan baseball account on Twitter, so that's how I get a lot of the updates. And, yeah, every game, Max Bernal did this, Max Bernal did that. So he went 6-for-9 in the series with 11 RBIs. So on six hits, you produced 11 RBIs and a grand slam in game one. You threw a clean inning yesterday, right? Get a little work on the mound against Clovis East. So, yeah, phenomenal week. So congrats to Max. Buchanan is ranked 5th in the state right now by Cal High Sports. So, Max, yeah, first of all, congratulations, man. You're having a good season.
Thank you. You bet. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. So walk-up songs are a big deal now. Right when I played, there were no walk-up songs, right? You maybe had your name announced, and that felt pretty good while you strode up to the plate.
Yeah.
But walk-up songs are a big deal now.
Nowadays, you got to feel good walking up to that
exactly. Got to pump you up a little bit,
yeah,
right?
All
right, so what's your song?
This year I went with Can't Tell Me Nothing Again. It was the same one as last year by Kanye West.
You know?
I just think it's pretty swaggy. Fits me really well.
Okay, so for the last 2 years, that's been your song. Sophomore year, what was it?
It was Sad But True by Metallica. I was a little bit of in a rock phase.
Okay, well, I like it. I'm down with the Metallica. That's cool. Trevor Hoffman came out to Enter Sandman, right, from Metallica. So when you hear that song, is it just like, all right, it's time to grip it and rip it, right?
Yeah, it just pushed me in a different mode. Mindset clicks, and I'm ready to go.
Who's got the second best walk up song? Oh, obviously yours is the best, right?
Oh, yeah.
So who's got the second best?
The best walk up song I've ever heard, honestly, is last year when Drew picked Magic Stick by Lil' Kim and 50 Cent. I've never heard a walk up song go so hard. Like, I was like, wow.
But that was last year for Drew?
That was last year. This year, honestly, I think none really like stick out to me other than Drew's again too.
Okay, Drew's done it 2 years in a row.
Drew got some good ones.
Was it last year that Austin Young did he have Careless Whisper?
He did.
That's the opposite of a hype song. Careless Whisper by Wham, obviously sung by George Michael. I remember when that song would be played, you could hear in the crowd they're like,
"Oh, it's Austin
what?
Too."
Is that's Careless Whisper? So I don't know. Is he trying to lull the pitcher to sleep or something like that? I don't know. Catch him off guard.
Because the year before, he went Wherever I May Roam by Metallica. Then he goes to Careless Whisper, and I'm like, well, that's a good switch.
Oh, what a guy in Austin is at the Masters College. He's having a good season there. All right, speaking of hitting, what's your bat? What bat is your go-to, and what's the size and weight on that bad boy?
I swing a 33 Easton Surge. And honestly, it's an old bat. It's from like, I couldn't even tell you, probably 2011. My brother told me about it. He was like, hey, it's an old bat. It's cheap. You find it online, fresh it right out of the wrapper. I start swinging it. It feels great. It's got that end load. It's got that juice.
Now, handles have kind of evolved as well. So when you're talking about the grip and the handle. So what's the grip look like and what's the handle? Because I know there's like an oblong shape that's supposed to give you a little more stability on the bottom. Is that what you roll with? Or
Personally, I like really thin handles. Like okay. One layer of tape, thin handles. It just psychologically makes me think my hands are quicker. Like I don't like thick, flared knobs like that.
I'm 100% with
you. I stick to thick.
Double batting gloves or one?
Double.
Double.
I don't like one.
Okay. Everyone does double nowadays, right? But I agree with you. I like the thin handle. I remember for a while, I don't know, was it a phase where you get that super thick and you feel like you couldn't even get your wrist through.
Yeah. Like personally, lizard skin, I don't like at all just because it's too thick.
Okay. All right. Talking with Max Bernal of Buchanan Baseball. Let's go back a little bit to the beginning. You obviously come from a baseball family. I know your parents are listening. Your baseball through and through, and your brother RJ. And speaking of RJ, he does the music, right? He's up in the booth doing the music,
the walk up songs, all that. He works for us. He's always in on that computer editing something for us.
DJ RJ, all right. Shout out to RJ. But let's go back to the beginning. What's your first memory of baseball?
My first memory of baseball. With Buchanan or just
anywhere, like growing up, like T-ball. Do you remember your first practice? Do you remember trying to catch the ball and then crying or trying to swing it off a tee and not hit? I mean, just anything like that.
Man, for some reason, I remember vividly. I'm probably 3-4 years old playing with the Orioles at River Park T-ball. And I don't know if it was like my first swing ever or something, but I don't know why I remember. I just dude put the ball on the tee, and I just started swinging and almost smoked him in the hand. And they just started laughing at me and just said, hey, chill. And ever since then, I guess, like, it's just always stuck with me. It's my very first baseball memory, and that was probably the earliest I started, too.
Yeah, probably you just picked up a bat for the first time, and you're like, this is natural, right?
I'm just going to swing
it. Yeah. Now, you're left-handed.
Yeah.
All right? You throw left, you bat left. Was that – and do you write with your left hand as well? You're left-handed dominant?
Yeah, I am. The only thing I don't do is I kick with my right leg for whatever reason. I'm not sure, but it's just natural with my right leg.
Did you play other sports growing up? So you say you kicked with your right leg. You didn't play soccer or anything like that?
Never did. From early age, like my parents were always trying to get me to play basketball or football, do something different, right? See what else you like. And I've always just said, no, I want to play baseball. So
baseball only?
They just let me roll with it.
And you're pretty well put together guy. What are you, 6'1"?
6'1", 200 right now.
Yeah, there you go. And you put on a lot of, let's be honest too, you put on a lot of weight.
I did,
In the summer. You hit it hard in the weight room. You made a concentrated effort to get your body in the best shape possible, didn't you?
Yeah, I came into last season around 205, like fall. And then just from pitching as a starter and having practice and games and then working out and not even be able to hit the weight room, like our workouts are like high-intensity workouts to make a sweat. Like, I was just losing more weight, especially not being able to get in the weight room with COVID and all that. Like, I just couldn't keep up. But as soon as this last season ended, I just started hitting weight gainer, like protein shakes, eating as much as I can till I couldn't breathe, and just lifting as much as I can and try to get that weight back up, and it paid off.
So it started at the end of last season and went through the summer. Can you take us through your summer? Like, what did that constitute? You said you mentioned taking care of your body as far as protein shakes and eating more healthy. And let's be honest, too. Most high schoolers aren't doing that, right? Most high schoolers aren't going to, like, doing next-level stuff as far as getting your body in shape. What did that summer look like? Were you waking up early and hitting the weights? Was there somebody that really helped you through this routine?
Yeah, so I have a trainer. He's my cousin. He's also my physical therapist. And then I have my other cousin, he's also a physical therapist. So I was seeing both of them at the same time. So I had, like, that foot issue.
Yeah.
I was seeing one of them at him and his physical therapy, getting that taken care of. And then after that or the next day, I'd hit my trainer's garage, and we'd lift every other day in there. And then I'd go on my own to GB3 with my dad's membership or something. And then my stepmom has a garage that I can use all the time. I'm just in there all the time.
You got a where do you hit off a tee? Is there a batting cage that you go to, like, when you can't get on the field at Buchanan?
Yeah, almost every day after practice. Like, even now, me and the boys, like, we own, my stepdad, like, we own Blueprint batting facility over there by the airport.
Okay.
So, like, we have keys and we can just go over there whenever we want. So about, like, 9, 10 o'clock, like, every night after practice, after homework, we just go over there, hit for a little bit, come back home.
What – I want to hit on that a little bit. Like, you obviously had a huge week, man, where you're seeing the ball really, really well. You hit that grand slam. You hit a couple homers last year. How many did you hit last year?
7.
You hit 7 last year. Yeah. When you're in a groove like that, are you thinking about mechanics? Are you thinking about, yeah, I got to get my bat head out, or I got to – you know, I got to time this pitch right. I got to step right. Or are you just like see ball, hit ball?
It's just see ball, hit ball. When you're in the groove, mechanics are like everyone, every baseball player can tell you. When you're in that box and you're just seeing the ball well and you're just hitting it to all parts of the field hard, consistently, like mechanics are never in your mind. You just feel different. Like mentally, you're just like, oh, I'm good. I can just do it. You get in that box and you just do it. You don't think, okay, I got to get my hands through it.
Yeah.
Good. That's when you start struggling.
Exactly. When you're thinking about it too much, that's when you're not in the groove, right? What is your favorite type of stroke? Let's say, I don't know, obviously when you get a fat fastball, maybe an 85-mile-an-hour fastball right in the middle, you can smoke it for a home run. But, I mean, what about, a two-strike hit where a guy puts a fastball on the outside part of the plate and you take it the other way for a double? Like, What's the most satisfying type of hit for you?
No, yes. 0-2 hits, like any type of 0-2 hit, is definitely one of the most satisfying things, because it's like more often than not, if you're 0-2, like you're either getting beat or you're beating yourself. So making that adjustment and being able to fight after that is one of the most satisfying things. But as a home run hitter, I'm obviously going to be biased. Like, okay, I want to hit the long ball.
Yeah.
But two strike hits are for sure up there with satisfaction.
And I think your coaches would say the same, man. When you put that ball and play with two strikes and you go oppo and get a line drive hit, they're really excited about that. Speaking of coaches, we got your coach on the line right now. A little surprise. We got Coach Brad Fonts of Buchanan Bears. Coach Fonts, how you doing? Thanks for taking the time to talk about one of your star players here, Max.
Appreciate it. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on. What's up, Max?
All right. Yeah, Max is right here sitting. We're talking baseball, and we're talking about, you know, taking a two-strike pitch the other way and the most satisfying types of hits. But Max he's one of those glue guys on the team. He's somebody that's been a program kid through and through, went to Alta Sierra. You know, he bleeds Buchanan blue and red. What can you say about this kid right here?
Well, I mean, to see the progression from – you know, when they were kind of thrown, there was a group of them thrown into that varsity baseball scene, to see how they've progressed and matured over the last few years and to see where they're at now is pretty impressive. And I heard you guys earlier talk about the offseason and what Max has done in the weight room and nutrition-wise. And guys come to the field and they see the results, right? They see the home run or they see the double and all that, but they don't understand the work that he's put in outside of baseball. The other day we were in the weight room, and Trenton Kemp runs our strength and conditioning stuff, and we were doing some stretches, and I look over, and Max is doing this 90-90 sit and doing it very well and pretty comfortably, and as a sophomore he couldn't do that. And so the work that he's put in with the flexibility and the weight gain and the strength, and I think sometimes that goes kind of underrated and people don't understand that.
And for somebody like Max to put that much effort into being the best athlete possible, and he earned the scholarship, he's going to Cal State Bakersfield. You know, I'm sure he's got plans, you know, got desires to play at the next level after college, play a little pro ball as well. But you've been around the baseball, Coach Fonts, you've been around baseball for a long time. You've seen it all. You know, you play college and then you play pro baseball as well. But what does it take to get to that next level? Because I think a lot of kids have that desire to play college baseball and even pro baseball, but they truly don't know what it's like. So what does it take, you know, and obviously Max is on his way to playing Division I baseball, but what does it take to get to that next level in college?
Well, it's the amount of discipline, right? Like the intrinsic motivation that Max has to be better, to be the best, and to improve on all aspects of his game. That's a big piece of it. But moving forward, you know, to continue to play until somebody takes your glove away, it's the discipline in your daily routine and how you go about your business daily is the difference. You know, what are you doing when people aren't watching? That kind of ties in with what you're going to end up doing down the road. You got to be lucky. You know, you have to be there at the right time. You have to put your work in. You have to stay healthy. And there's so many things that tie into it, and you just want to put yourself in the best position you can to be successful and hope that the timing is right and you stay healthy and you have an opportunity to continue to play.
Thanks for jumping on, Coach Fonts, with us. I got one more question for you, and again, it's about Max. How important is it for you as a coach to know that you can trust a player like him? You could plug him in the lineup, hitting cleanup or hitting third, and you know you can count on him to come in for an inning or two. I know last year you relied on him more on the mound, but you got some other pitchers that have stepped up, and so he's an excellent first baseman defensively as well. But how, for a coach for a high-quality caliber team such as Buchanan is, a state-level team, how important is it to have a player like Max that you can really trust out there and just to do his job?
It's huge. I mean, it allows you to open up the game plan, you know, to another level. Like, we trust him with counts and hitting plans. And, you know, he's a mature hitter, and he's earned that trust. And it allows us to do, you know, a lot of different things offensively. We have a couple guys like that, you know, when the game's on the line, you can trust them to execute the hitting plan or execute the hitting situation. And, you know, Max, he's just a stand-up guy. He's a Buchanan baseball player, you know, all in. He worked with some of our freshman guys the other day. I mean, Max will do anything you want him to do. There's no questions asked. You want him to start, you want him to relieve, you want him to play left, first, DH, hit, whatever. And it's just a statement to his character. And, you know, we appreciate his effort, his leadership, and everything that he does.
All right.
Means a lot to me, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Excellent stuff, Coach. Thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate you. Can't wait to watch your team play next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
See you, Coach.
Wow, Coach saying some good things about you there, Max.
That's my guy.
That's your guy.
I love that guy.
Well, let's talk about Coach a little bit. He is a no-nonsense guy, isn't he?
Oh, zero.
And one thing I appreciate about Brad is that Coach Fonts is that he's a straight shooter. He'll tell you exactly how it is.
Brutally
honest. I like that word. You got to say brutally. Brutally honest, because he'll take you where you're at, but he knows how to get to the next level. If you're, you know, I don't know how many guys you're carrying on this year, let's say 20, 25 guys. If you're the 25th guy, his expectation for that kid is just as high as any other player on the team, right?
Yep. He's not. He doesn't look at anybody specifically. He's yelling at the Buchanan baseball player, not me or Drew or Chubbo or Jay. No, he's yelling at the Buchanan baseball player. It doesn't matter who you are. You got to get it done. It doesn't matter if the next guy is better than you and this guy works harder than you. Like, no, you got to get it done. Like, if you're out here, you're getting it done.
Because you never know. You never know when you might have to come off the bench and lay down a bunt.
Exactly.
Or maybe somebody gets hurt and you got to go take an outfield position. You got to know who your cutoff man and all that stuff is. Yeah, excellent stuff.
It's all about being a team guy.
100%. All right, Max, this has been great. We've got a couple more minutes here. We haven't talked about your favorite team. Are you a California guy? Who do you root for in the major leagues? Are you a Giants guy, Dodgers? Who you go for?
I'm a big California guy. I'm actually an Angels fan. And this was like before Mike Trout days.
Okay.
So this isn't Mike Trout bias. Like, I've just always been Angels.
Was that part of your family? Family is an Angels team, or is that
no.
You just attached yourselves to the Angels?
It was all me. I don't know. I just got it. Saw them, and I was like, yeah, I'm like that team.
Maybe you
and
like then, that A on the hat,
maybe,
with the little halo at the top.
Maybe
old
at
school.
A young age, the red being my favorite color, and that helps a lot too.
Kind of Buchanan, right? Buchanan, yeah. Colors a little bit. Yeah, oh my gosh, Angels. Obviously, we're Giants heavy here, and Dodgers are a phenomenal team. And I root for the Angels. And when they won the World Series with Troy Glaus and those guys, that was
too.
Fun to watch. You know, Spezio, right, hit that big homer. But they can't get it going. How you got Mike Trout, who's what, played in one playoff game. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't have to tell you, Max.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. They Injuries don't help.
Pitching.
Obviously, a bad bullpen doesn't
bullpen
help.
Guys. Yeah, last night's game hopefully is a harbinger yeah. of what's going to come. All right, we got one more minute, but I definitely want to ask you about the next level, Cal State Bakersfield. Why did you choose them, and what are you excited about next year?
Man, I'm excited for everything, honestly. I got people that genuinely, I think, care about me. I'm going to a great school. It's going to be great baseball. My roommates are literally my buddies. Like, I'm going to be roommating with the dude that went to Buchanan, Marcello. So it's
all
like,
right.
So I'm literally living with my brother when I go over there. And when I go over there, like, they treat me with the, like, they actually care about me. That's the feeling I got when I went over there compared to, like, anywhere else I've ever been. Those people genuinely had an interest in me and wanted to see me go further.
Excellent.
So I was like, yeah, this is my group right here.
You made a great choice. We're excited about the future for you. We're excited about the rest of the year. You guys have that big tournament coming up, and, you know, we mentioned that Tuesday game against Bullard at home at 7 o'clock that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN. But Max Bernal, thanks for coming on the show, man. You did a great job. Always good to talk to Buchanan baseball players, man. They know they are very, very focused individuals. So yeah, thanks for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I mean, I always appreciate coming over here and doing something like this. It's an honor.
Absolutely. All right. I want at least one home run next week. No pressure. I want to see one because I know your dad likes to put those on Twitter and all that fun stuff. So I want to see one next week. All right.
Can't guarantee a home run, but I'll hit some balls hard.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Coming up after the show, we're going to have Jason Pappy of Fresno High talking about this Easter Classic that's coming next week, coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning again, and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, Blackstone and Sierra Avenue. Just next to Herndon, you know the place, First String Sports, the place to be. I'm here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. Come on down here for all your sporting goods needs. Just had a great conversation with Max Bernal of Buchanan High Baseball. He's been part of the class, really 2022, the class of 2022 that came up as sophomores. I think there were 8 of them that were on varsity as sophomores, and then COVID hit. They were going to take their lumps. A lot of them were going to be starters as sophomores. And then last year, they won the Central Section Championship with that big win over Liberty. You know, they had that scare in the first round of the playoffs and needed a home run in the last inning to escape. But then, you know, proved that they were the best team in the Central Section last year. And Buchanan is ranked high this year. They are the number one team in the Central Section, according to Max Preps. They're ranked number 5 in the state by Cal High Sports. We're going to be talking with Mark Tennis at the bottom of the hour about those rankings and softball rankings and some of the best teams that the Central Section has produced in regards to overall in state history of California. We're going to be talking with Fresno High coach Jason Pappy in a few minutes. He's actually on his way here to First String Sports. He is running the Fresno Easter Classic, and it is a huge, huge tournament. And so he's running around doing a few errands. Actually, I think one of his stops needed to be here at First String Sports anyway. I think he's going to pick up some baseballs here. But yeah, he's going to be joining us in a few minutes. And once he comes here, he'll hop on and we'll talk about the Easter Classic and all that entails this week. But I was woken up by the news, unfortunate news about Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins. You know, if you checked your phone in the last couple hours, and, you know, I know the ESPN promos have talked about Mr. Haskins, and he unfortunately passed away tragically early this morning in South Florida. The reports are that he was on the freeway, and the last update that we got is that he was struck by a dump truck and unfortunately passed away. It's an awful, awful, tragic moment. He was working out there with Steelers players, wide receivers, and quarterbacks, and he was going to be challenging for a starting position for the retired Ben Roethlisberger. I remember Haskins in college. I think that's where a lot of us remember him for, you know, as a star quarterback for Ohio State. He was the 15th pick overall in 2019 by the Washington Redskins. And one thing that I remember about Dwayne Haskins is that shootout that he had with Clovis West grad Adrian Martinez, where Haskins had all the pub. He ended up being a Heisman Trophy finalist. And Adrian Martinez, stat-wise, was right there. And Ohio State won the game, but Adrian really made a name for himself in that game. But Dwayne Haskins, just an incredibly talented quarterback. There was a statement that came out from head coach Mike Tomlin. Quote, "I am devastated and at a loss for words with the unfortunate passing of Dwayne Haskins. He quickly became part of our Steelers family upon his arrival in Pittsburgh and was one of our hardest workers, both on the field and in our community. Dwayne was a great teammate and even more so a tremendous friend to many. I am truly heartbroken." So that was a quote from Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. Yeah, when news hits like that where a prominent athlete passes away tragically and suddenly, it rattles you. So prayers to the family, and I know he was married, so obviously her thoughts and prayers are with his wife as well. So just awful news waking up to that. Again, we're waiting for Jason Pappy to show up. He's going to be talking about his Fresno Easter Classic that he puts on. Give a little bit of history of Jason. He's been the baseball coach at Fresno High. He took over for his dad, Ken. Jason played at Hoover, Fresno City, and Fresno State, so we're hoping we're going to get some stories about Ron Scott or Coach Bob Bennett. And his uncle Stan played in the major leagues. So, you know, the name Pappy is synonymous with baseball in the central section. The Warriors are 12-3-1 this year. They actually had a rough go this week. Reedley High has a really good baseball team. We talk about their football team, and their running back, Ryan Workentine, had him on the show this year. Reedley had a really good run. Workentine broke a bunch of records and is going to be playing some college football. But, yeah, Reedley baseball program is having a really good season as well, and Reedley beat Fresno High twice this week and took over the lead in the Yosemite League there. So looking forward to talking to Jason here in a few minutes. I want to go over some of the games that are going to be going on Monday, April 11th. So at John Euless Park at Fresno City College, Hoover's going to be playing Crater. At 1 o'clock, Fresno High is going to be playing north of Bakersfield. At 4 o'clock, Redwood against San Joaquin Memorial. And then the marquee game that night, San Joaquin Memorial, looks like a doubleheader, is going to be playing Fresno High at John Euless Park. At Buchanan Stadium, Buchanan's going to be playing at 10 versus Oakmont. At 1 o'clock, Bradshaw is playing Highland. At 4 o'clock, Oakmont is playing Reedley, who we just talked about. And at 7, Buchanan's going to be playing Davis High School. At Clovis High, at 10 o'clock, Clovis against Edison. Frontier and Hanford at 1. Edison and Hanford at 4. And then Frontier at Clovis at 7. Ooh, that is one of the best games on the first day. Frontier's got a really good ball team down there in Bakersfield, taking on the Cougars at 7. At Clovis East playing Chowchilla at 10. At 1 o'clock, Pleasant Grove versus Central. At 4 o'clock, Sunnyside and Chowchilla. And at 7, Pleasant Grove against Clovis East. At Clovis North is playing Placer at 10 o'clock. And Bullard is playing Jesuit at 1. And Placer is playing Bullard at 4 o'clock. And Jesuit's playing Clovis North in the marquee game at 7. Madera South at 4 o'clock. Sorry, not Madera South. Madera High. Garces is playing 4 o'clock against Liberty Madera. And at 7, Liberty Madera is playing Madera. Huh, imagine that. Liberty. All right, Jason just walked in. We got the Fresno High chair just for you. Nice purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I mentioned earlier when we came on that you've been running around probably like a chicken with his head cut off. This is the Saturday, a couple days before the big day on Monday. But, yeah, first of all, thanks for coming in. I think you were probably going to stop off at First String and pick up some stuff anyway, so I might as well come on the radio.
Yeah, you know, I've spent a lot of hours here over the last couple weeks. They do so much for us at First String. They provide all the trophies, and throughout the year they just do so much. But I have spent a lot of time here. We're running crazy, but we're so excited to get this thing kicked off on Monday.
So I went over a few of the marquee games. Well, actually, the whole schedule on Monday. Can you just tell everybody just the amount of effort and work it goes to this? When do you start planning this event? You know, talk about a little bit about the history, how long it's been going. I don't want to steal your thunder too much. Right? I wanted you to talk about the tournament. But, yeah, what about everything that goes into this coming week?
Yeah, so this tournament is something that my dad started a long time ago, 52 years old, actually. This longest-running tournament from Bakersfield to Chowchilla, one of the biggest tournaments in the state of California. I think it's the third biggest right now. We love it. This is a year-round commitment. We have a calendared schedule of when we start doing certain things, and, you know, we just kind of enjoy the process, I guess. You know, my dad was really big on the integrity of the tournament and keeping it first class, and I think we've done that. When COVID hit, it kind of, you know, set us into a tailspin a little bit because that 2000 and what was it, 2020 tournament was canceled.
Yeah.
And then last year we were able to bring it back, but we could only bring it back with teams that were in the same county or bordering counties. They wouldn't let anybody travel. So last year, you know, it was kind of a local deal. It was a great tournament, but we had 18. We're back up to 28, and we're still climbing. I'm already getting calls about next year and people just wanting to get back in it. So we're really excited to get it going again. And, you know, we have a lot of quality ball clubs coming, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
So how far up north? I mentioned Davis, right? So we got Davis, and then down south we go down to Bakersfield. Is that about as far as you're going?
Yes. Okay. Down south, you know, there's so many tournaments down there. It's really tough to get the Southern California teams into the Classic. Up north, man, we go, you know, we got Placer. We've got Crater from Oregon. But a lot of the Sacramento schools love to come here. They love the quality of baseball here. And I've been on a couple other shows and talked about the tournament over the last week. And the biggest thing that I tell everybody is, you know, people love to come to this tournament because in the Valley there's quality baseball. You know, we can talk about Southern California, San Diego, up north. But I think Valley baseball for a long time here has been so good because the game is played the right way. The competitive nature of the game, how the baseball coaches in this area prepare kids to play, and it's still a team sport. You've seen baseball in a lot of different areas become individualized, and kids are worried about me and my success. And high school baseball coaches around this area don't allow that to happen. It's team first, and it's a team game, and it should be that way. And so we're really excited just to, you know, get a bunch of schools from a bunch of different areas and put them in the same tournament and the same venues, and hoping for good weather. I see that Monday we're supposed to get some rain, so we're gonna do a rain dance and make sure that rain stays away. But we're excited to get going.
Yeah, I think it says 60% chance. So hey, 40% on our side here with getting these games
right
in. Yeah, and it's a full slate of games starting at 10 in the morning to 7 at night, and the venues that we have are great venues. And I've talked about this on the show in the past, how even going to Buchanan's track for track and field, this right, the swimming complex at Clovis West, these are all top notch. This is where we hold the state swim meet, the state track meet.
Correct.
Here in the Central Valley.
Right.
But the baseball stadiums are top notch. There's some Twitter account out there that highlights the most beautiful high
right
school baseball stadiums in the nation, and it seems like, yeah, all of ours have been have been highlighted on that Twitter account.
Okay.
But yeah, the facilities that we have are top notch. We got the beautiful bleachers there, the concrete slabs and all that stuff, where you got a great view of the game. But talk about the quality of baseball stadiums that this tournament's being played.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things. You know, I'm so thankful for Clovis Unified allowing us to, you know, use their facilities. I wish we could showcase, and last year we were able to, but, you know, in Fresno Unified, we got some nice facilities too. The problem is they're not lighted, and, you know, we've got to get games in at 10, 1, 4, and 7, and so lighted facilities make this tournament so much easier to manage, but they're beautiful. I mean, the pride in the fields in this area is unbelievable. I think it's, you know, it's second to none. You don't find that around the state, and
yeah,
people say that, and, you know, I really think that in this tournament, that's another draw for us. Just the weather, for one. You know, Crater, They come down all the time because he says, you know, man, we're in snow. We're trying to just, you know, sometimes this is the first time we're getting on the field. But when they come down and they just see the manicured fields and everything being first class, I think that's what my dad wanted, his vision a long time ago, and we've been able to maintain that and keep it strong and keep this tournament second to none. So we're really excited. I'm going to have about 150 coaches in a room tomorrow night.
All right.
We got the coaches' dinner going on at Pardini's tomorrow night. And then Monday, you know, you're talking about 56 games in 3 days. It's a lot of work, and you're talking about getting fields ready. If we do have rain, throwing Diamond Dry out there and trying to – and I'm just so thankful. We have a great nucleus of helpers that come and just, you know, make this thing run smooth. And when we talk about the planning and the tournament and getting it ready to go, I've got to provide park supervisors, ticket takers, announcers, scorebook guys, scoreboard operators, you name it. We've got to provide it at every site. And so there's a great group of just great people that come and help us make this thing second to none. So we're excited to get it going, and we're just hoping that we can get that Monday slate of games in.
I think we will. Talking with Jason Pappy, director of the Fresno Easter Classic. I want to ask a couple questions about, and you hit on that too, just the logistics of it. And how many baseballs do you think that you use? Go ahead.
We, and like I said earlier, you know, the integrity of this tournament. My dad, in this tournament, we provide everything, and that's what my dad always wanted. You know, other tournaments that you're in, you know, you provide the baseballs, and we provide them in this tournament. And we're at a sporting goods store. You can go. Baseballs are not cheap anymore. They're $80, $90 a dozen. And we go through for this tournament probably around 30 to 35 dozen baseballs. And so the costs are significant. We've got a lot of costs. I mean, I'm going to put a steak dinner in everybody's hands tomorrow night that we provide, that you know, we give to those coaches. We provide the baseballs. Every coach in the tournament's getting a brand new Fungo bat. We'll have a great raffle. You know, t-shirts, you name it, we provide it for these guys. And so it's expensive. The umpires, you know, the umpire bill is, and we're talking about 56 games. It's expensive, but we love doing it, and we just want to put a good product on the field, and I'm so thankful for everybody that helps make that happen. So,
how's your Fungo skills? Speaking of Fungo bats, you still got it?
Yeah, oh yeah. I take a lot of pride in it. You know, I seem to collect Fungo shoes and hats. Those are my things. So if you go to my house, I got about 50 Fungos. I take a lot of pride in it. My coaches give me a bad time all the time because I mean, I take pride in the catcher pop up after in and out, and I've gotten good at it. And you know, it's a big deal. If I can keep it in the circle, and so they give me a hard time about how much I practice the catcher pop up. So
that is a huge deal. So I had Tim Thiessen on last show, and I coached with Tim, and then I took over the JV program for 5 years. So that was actually one of the big highlights. Like, if I did a good catcher pop up on that final one, I knew it was going to be a good game.
It's a good game. Oh yeah,
right.
Exactly. No, that's that's how it is. It's you know, I think I tell coaches that I hire all the time. You know, if I talk to a guy about coaching at Fresno, I say, hey, there's a couple things you got to know how to do, and if you can't do them, you can't coach here. I said, you better be able to hit a Fungo and throw BP, because if you can't do those things, you know, you're basically
you're worthless.
Exactly. And then the third thing I said, do you drink some beer? And if they do that, man, that's the trifecta. They're hired immediately. So
what about this tournament gives you the biggest headache, but yet what gives you the greatest joy?
I think the preparation. When I leave, I've been running all morning. You know, my dad's at Fresno High right now. We're getting cash boxes in order. We're getting all the tickets separated because we have daily passes, tournament passes.
Yeah.
I think just the preparation piece and making sure that it's run first class. And I think that's probably the headache. The other thing is when you're playing in a tournament that you're running, it makes it extremely difficult. I mean, we're trying to win games. And, you know, last year we had one heck of a tournament. We played Buchanan High in the championship. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because you're trying to focus on the tournament and also focus on keeping your team sharp and playing good. And we've got we've got to keep our cell phones on, me and my dad in the dugout. And, you know, because if the lights don't go on at a venue or if the sprinklers come on, you know, they're calling us and we're right in the middle of the fourth inning in a game, you know, we're playing. And that's probably the toughest thing, just the you know, preparing, and then just hoping that, you know, at all the other sites, you know, I if you would see the boxes that we give our park supervisors, the details that we go into, the coaches' packets that we make, just to make sure in hopes that everything runs smooth. Yeah. We're praying that it does again. You know, you have 56 games that need to be covered by umpires. If a guy runs out of gas or something comes up and they don't show up at the game, it's a direct reflection on the tournament and obviously the tournament directors. And so that's what worries us. I don't think a lot of people know what goes in. The baseball community does. The guys that get it know. But, you know, a lot of people probably think this thing runs itself, and it doesn't. I've learned so much from my dad. I mean, what he does and what he did with this tournament is second to none. And just learning from him on how to be prepared and to basically, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's and make sure that you're ready to go. And he has done that for so long, and it's so much fun for me to be doing it with him now. And, you know, he can't do as much as he used to, but I'm telling you, that guy is, he's a grinder, man. He's out there. He's ready to go, and we're excited to get this thing kicked off.
What is the greatest compliment then somebody, maybe a opposing coach or even a parent, could come up to you? What's the greatest compliment you think you could get about your tournament?
That it's run first class. That, you know, there's not a detail that's left undone. And we get that a lot, and that's what makes it so exciting for us to run, when people just tell you, hey, look, what a great tournament, you know, on Twitter, on social media, text messages, emails, random fans will come and say, man, we couldn't believe just, you know, the quality of baseball and the sights, because you're talking about every morning there's a game at 10 a.m. and you've got to have that field ready to go.
Yeah.
And then that 10 o'clock game ends, there's another one at 1 o'clock, and we've got guys out there ready to fix the fields and, you know, ready to get them done. And so I think that is the most difficult thing, and the biggest compliment is just making everything run smooth. So,
Jason, I definitely want to give your team some love as well. So I mentioned too, and I hated doing that because I looked at your scores, and you know, Reedley got you a couple times this week. You guys came in, I think, with a 12-1, got that tie on your record. But I want to give your, you know, you an opportunity to talk about your team. You guys had that great start, and some of your guys you want to talk about on your team.
Oh yeah, you know, I couldn't be proud of our guys. We hit a roadblock this week, but you know, that happens. You're going to face adversity during the season. Our kids have done so well. We've faced more adversity probably this year than in all my 20 years at Fresno High. We've been down to 12 players right now through injuries and grade issues. I lost my catcher a few weeks back, and we're hoping to get him back by the end of the year. He's our four hitter, and but our kids have this mentality of it's just next man up, and we want to get better every day. And this week we faced a good Reedley team, and they got us twice. I mean, yesterday was a 5-4 score. We didn't play our best game, but that's baseball. I mean, you've got a target on your back when you've won as many league championships as we won. And you know, everybody wants to knock you off. And so I couldn't be prouder. We have some really big wins. Our kids come out every day, and they work their tails off. But we laugh because of all the injuries and stuff we've had. I said, man, we got a great ratio going. I think I have 7 coaches on my varsity staff, and we've got 12 varsity players. So we're almost at a 1-1 right now. But they've worked hard. I really stress the team aspect, and you know, we've pitched pretty dang well this year. We say, hey, we got to find a way to score 5 or more runs every day. You pitch and play defense, you're going to win a lot of games. And so couldn't be more proud of our guys, and just, you know, how they have faced the adversity and kept grinding, and we're excited. We got a tough schedule in this classic, but you know, we're trying to get better, and I think we're doing that. And every day is a new day to improve, and you know, that's a good thing about baseball. You can just get back after it the next day. And so, you know, we had a rough week, lost a couple games, but I can promise you at 1 o'clock on Monday, our guys will be ready to go.
And I remember when you guys made it that championship game last year, in Clovis, or in the Fresno Easter Classic, and that was a lot of fun to watch you guys. And yeah, I think you guys definitely have the respect of everyone up and down the Central Section. I think it's a testament to you and your dad and the Fresno High program of how all the coaches have come together, and they will do anything possible. You could probably text a dude. You could probably text one of the Patricks, and boom, they'll be on it, right? You could text anybody around the valley, and they'll be on something that you need.
Yeah, you know, this coaching community in this area, there's so many good guys and guys that get it and understand. Like I said earlier, man, I'm so thankful for Clovis Unified and all those coaches at those schools for allowing us to use their field and for working their tails off to help us get fields ready and to help us prepare for the tournament. And so I'm just thankful that we have a good nucleus of coaches in this area that compete relentlessly against each other on the field, but are friends off the field, and I'm thankful for all those guys. So.
Well, you gotta be a good fungoer, right? Yeah. You gotta throw BP. You gotta be able to throw down a couple. So I'm sure you and the coaches are gonna get together after some of these games and relax a little bit, especially after the tournament.
Oh yeah, every year this is it's so much work, and I don't see my own family because of it, during this tournament, but. My wife, we've been married 11 years now. She gets it, and she's such a big support piece. And I always say, as soon as this thing's over, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, me and my family, I'm dog tired, but me and my family get in the car and we go somewhere. Usually it's Disneyland.
Yeah.
My girls love it. So that's the plan again this year. Hopefully we can get out of town Thursday, take them to Disneyland Friday, come back Saturday, and then spend Easter Sunday with our whole family.
Perfect. So, awesome. Yeah. Jason, thank you so much. I knew you were running around crazy, but thanks for literally coming into First String Sports and jumping on and talking about your tournament, and we're looking forward to it. We're broadcasting a couple games, but I really appreciate you coming on.
Paul, no, thank you, and I appreciate everything that you do for Valley Sports. It's second to none. All the guys that cover local sports, you guys are saints. I wish, way back when the Fresno Bee, the coverage we used to get, and it's sad you don't get that anymore. Guys, the stuff's not in the newspaper, and so we're so thankful for guys like yourself that just cover these kids that are working so hard and doing so many good things. So thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thanks. Yeah, I look forward to talking to you. I know we met a couple years at Broilers, right? And I was working for the Clovis paper, and now I got this ESPN gig. So, thank you very much for coming on, Jace. Coming
welcome,
up,
Paul.
After this, we got Mark Tennis, Cal High Sports, talking more baseball.
I love it.
And, you got to stay – I know you're running around, but you got to keep that radio on, because we're going to be talking about that Fresno High 1958 team that 100%. Goes into the one of the top teams in California history. Mark Tennis, Cal High Sports, coming up after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report on ESPN 1430. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Always good when 21 Pilots brings you back on the airwaves. Here at First String Sports, I am your host, Paul Metters. Had a great conversation with Jason Pappy, the director of the Fresno Easter Classic, 52 years running strong. Always good to talk to him. He's a well-spoken guy. He's got a great radio. Sports. Love talking with Mark. Had a few conversations with him on air. He's the editor at Cal High Sports. You can follow them at Cal High Sports. I highly regarding everything high school sports related in California. They just do a phenomenal job with rankings and history. Mark, always love having you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Hi, Paul. No problem. Glad to be on.
All right. So we tease this a little bit. We're going to get into a lot of fun stuff here, but we tease this on Twitter. And the Giants had that great win last night, and we are the flagship station for the San Francisco Giants. But Brandon Crawford, shortstop, beloved member. I think this is his 13th year in the majors. Brandon Crawford, a great athlete in high school, but apparently he loves to talk about his quarterbacking days at Foothill High School. I read here, doing a little research, I read that he played catch with the coach and with Gabe Kapler, and played and broke his finger or something like that, or tore a ligament because he was throwing the football so hard. But Brandon Crawford, he was a stud quarterback in high school, could have been a D1 dude, right?
I think maybe a D1 dude. He was very good. One game he had 400 yards passing, and his receiver, who's in the state record book with 329 yards in one game, the kid that caught passes from him in that game. So he's not in the record book, but his receiver in one game was. Yes, he was very good as a quarterback. I never saw him play football. The guy I did see play football as a quarterback was Logan Webb, the pitcher, at Rockland High School. I did see him play, and he was also a very good quarterback. So, you know, to have an argument with Giants fans or in the Giants clubhouse, who is the better high school quarterback, Brandon Crawford or Logan Webb, that'd be quite an argument. They were both very, very good.
And I read also, too, that Ryan McPherson for the Colorado Rockies, he just signed a huge contract. He was the quarterback at Modern Day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was. He was very good, too. He wasn't as – I don't know if he was good as the other two.
Yeah.
You know, Modern Day, you know, nowadays they get every top quarterback they pretty much want. So it's a little different. But in those days, they weren't quite the same. They're getting the guys just in their own local pipeline. Now they get guys from basically all over the place.
Yeah, that's a different animal now. It's really turned into that. Mark, I want to talk about the baseball rankings. You can go to Cal High Sports, and so not only do they rank their teams, you know, you could go to Max Preps and look at their rankings, but Cal High Sports does a write-up, and they put reasons why, and they highlight players from each team, so they do an in-depth report. But you got Buchanan at number 5 and Stockdale from Bakersfield. We've talked about them on the show. Unfortunately, we know Central Section team has played them. I'm talking about, you know, Fresno Clovis area. They haven't played anybody in the area yet, but they jumped from 17 to 6, and they only got a star player in Austin Charles who has a chance of being drafted this year. Looks like Clovis West at 28, and Bullard was previously in there, but they had that loss to Sanger. So, yeah, Buchanan at 5 and Stockdale at number 6. Those teams are looking like they are, you know, the class of the Central Section so far.
Well, it changes very rapidly, as you know. It only takes a little injury or a freak bounce of the ball, and you take a loss, and maybe you shouldn't take one. And it sort of depends on what happens that particular week within the state, how many crazy results there are. Last week was pretty crazy. A lot of teams moved way up and way down with various teams losing. We had teams that were 4th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th all lose at least one game. And you have to analyze the losses. Sometimes if you lose one game and you play a 3-game series with somebody, that's not that bad. Or you have a loss and you're still leading the league, that's not that bad. The number one team in the state, Orange Lutheran, lost yesterday in a national tournament in North Carolina. Yeah. That's not going to hurt them, really. So you have to look at each loss, you know, the context of it. And last week was kind of crazy because, like I say, all these teams lost. So Stockdale being undefeated at 15-0, they're going to be undefeated this week as well. They do have some really good players that have D1 scholarship offers, and they have good players and a good record. No, they haven't played really much out of their area, but they're going to eventually. You know, and Buchanan has 2 losses. They were both at that when they went up on the trip to the Bay Area. And you could argue that even in one sense that Stockdale should be higher. I'm not doing that. I don't know if too many people would because Buchanan beat De La Salle on that trip. And De La Salle's another team. They lost last week, but their top 2 pitchers really haven't done much this year. So you kind of think, well, they're maybe, you know, getting them ready for the playoff run. And that's really when you have to get rolling in baseball. You get those playoff weeks where you're pitching one ace one day, the next ace a couple days later, and you've got your closer ready, and you can get on a roll. And that's what they're all sort of angling toward.
Talking with Mark Tennis at Cal High Sports. And speaking of aces, softball is a different animal with regards to that, because you could pitch your softball ace as long as you want, as many games as you want. But you got a new number one this week, and that's Clovis North. They're undefeated on the season, and they got a really impressive pitcher in Ryan Maddox. So before we get into Ryan Maddox and that phenomenal game that she had against Clovis West, what was the reasoning why you guys bumped up Clovis North from number 3 and why they're the number 1 team in the state right now?
The choice was basically between them and a school called Oaks Christian in Southern California, which has beaten some teams in Ventura County like Westlake and Camarillo. They won a tournament in Vegas. I think they beat Clovis High in that tournament, and they didn't lose. They haven't lost, but they also haven't. You know, they kind of have a reputation in the Southern Section of not playing in the very top tournaments, and then they didn't go. They haven't done very well in the Division I, the top bracket of the Southern Section playoffs the last few years. We've kind of lost in the early rounds. It's like we weren't really comfortable moving them all the way to number one. And then the problem with Clovis North last week is they didn't play. So you're always reluctant to move someone to number one who didn't play. So it's a very tough decision. And then you could have even left the team that lost, that was previous number one, which is Villa Park. Villa Park has a pitcher who is very dominating, like Ryan Maddux, Sidney Sommerdijk. They're both going to be at Arizona. Sidney's a year older. And Sidney got hurt, and Villa Park lost twice. She turned her ankle, and she didn't pitch, and they lost twice. So you got to figure when she's pitching, they're going to be right there with anybody. But since then, they've lost again, and Clovis North has had the big win over Clovis West, where Ryan struck out almost every, you know, I think he struck out every batter except one, and so that sort of solidifies them in that top spot. And of course, it's going to be who is ever hot. Those couple weeks of the end of the season is where it's going to matter the most.
And that 21 strikeouts and zero walk game by Ryan Maddux, that was obviously one of the great games that we've seen here in the Central Section. And obviously he's going to make state news and make national waves as well, because that doesn't happen very, very often, especially with the zero walks. And it wasn't a no-hitter because there was a bunt single in that seventh. But, yeah, that pretty crazy stuff there, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a 1-0 game. It was 1-0, yeah. So it wasn't, it didn't look too bad.
Game, and they're going to have to get their offense going, you know. We've had girls throw games like that and lose.
Yeah. And, Mark, this is a part of our conversation that I've looked forward to for a long time. Your top baseball teams of all time in the state of California. I love this list. It seems like I go back every 6 months and just go over this list again and just reminisce about some of these great teams. I want to talk about a few of these teams. But before I get into it, I think the list that I looked at was 2013. Is the 2016 Buchanan team, has that broke the top 25, that 2016 team that ended up number one in the nation?
Yeah, they're in there. And, of course, the big argument is if they're the best team from Buchanan, because they had another really good team as 2011. So, 2016 and 2011 Buchanan are both very high on those kind of lists. They're always going to be hard-pressed, because you have in Fresno what people still consider the greatest high school team of all time, which is Fresno High 1958. So, and that's pretty hard to beat when you have two pitchers who both later won 20 games in the major leagues, which that's really, 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 really rare.
Yeah, there's always going to be that argument. I would definitely want to talk about that 58 team in a minute. But that argument between 2011 Buchanan and 2016, both teams were number one in the nation and number one by you guys as well. There'll always be that interesting, who was better, who had the better pitching, who had the more team speed. I think 2011 had better defense, but 2016 had a third-round draft pick in Grant Gambrell and, just one of the number one pitcher. So there'll always be that argument. But you got a couple Buller teams, the 2000 or the 1989 team and the 1980 team as well. You have the 1989 team that I remember because that was the year I graduated from Emmanuel. Got them at number 19 with Todd Johnson, Bobby Waits as a pitcher. Derek Walker was also a great pitcher there. But they made that great run down there in Florida where they took on challengers and put their number one reputation on the line, and they took care of business there and won that tournament over there.
This was 1989 Bullard?
Yeah, 89.
Yeah, the thing about 89 Bullard is you have to remember also is they sort of dovetailed from the year before when they were 29-1, and they were actually number one in the state 2 years in a row, which is obviously extremely rare. So they having those two teams kind of together, sort of like one dovetailed into the other one, makes the second team, what they did, stand out even more.
The 1980 team was 29-2. Obviously, their head coach was Mike Noakes, who coached both teams. Richie Gaynor was the senior pitcher on that team, was a six-round draft pick in the major leagues. And then you got that Clovis team, those back-to-back teams in 97 and 98. The 98 team, you got them at number four. Again, this I think was this is a 2013 list, so I don't know if it's changed. But, you know, a top five team in state history, 33-2. James Patrick, the head coach, Cody Nolan, Chris Patrick, who is the leader. Hitting-wise, hit .463 this year. Mike Bumate was on the mound, 15-0, 0.84 ERA, and actually his daughter Emma is on that Clovis North softball team, so that's pretty fun. But I mean, what a team, the back-to-back seasons for Clovis High in 97 and 98.
Yeah, again, those all-time rankings is sort of are you know, it really can help your kind of all-time ranking, and if you're the second of a team that repeated, and doing that in 97 and 98, the competition was really fierce. That makes a big difference in an all-time sort of ranking. An all-time kind of ranking you're looking for, you know, an all-time great players that might have been on the team. You're looking for a competition, and then if it's two in a row or three in a row or something like that, other rankings come into play. If a team was number one in the nation, or it doesn't have to be number one in the nation by a poll that we were doing at the time, but somebody else reputable, those are all factors you're looking into. It. And those things can change over time. If a player on a team goes on and does something great, that happens in all sports. Someone on a team that, you know, you have a great team, and then 10 years later they're, you know, leading teams to the Super Bowl or something. It makes their high school team look
yeah.
even better.
And that 1958 Fresno High team that you mentioned, we just had Jason Pappy on the show, which was really neat. And one of these days we'll bring Jason back, and we'll talk about the history of Fresno High and their legacy, the Hall of Fame players that they have that played on that field there. But just in context, and I did a little more research. I read about Dick Ellsworth and Jim Maloney, and I read the Saber report on Dick Ellsworth, and just obviously it was a different time back then, and how drafts were and how players treated their teams. Treated their pro prospects. And, you know, Dick Ellsworth yeah. and Jim Maloney, those guys within 5 years, Mark, became 20 game winners in the major leagues. So think about it. Graduate high school within 5 years, both those guys won 20 games. Incredible.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, we get people ask us now about Harvard Westlake because they have three guys in the majors that are doing well. And for a couple of weeks, they were all on the same team based on injuries and things like that. But and people ask about, you know, Max Fried and Lucas Giolito and, you know, all the players.
Jack Flaherty.
And Flaherty. Jack Flaherty is the third one. They're all at Harvard Westlake. But you know, it's a different time. So it's hard for those guys to win, two guys to win 20 games. And then there was only like 1 year they were really all together at the same time because Max Fried transferred from another school for his season there. So it's a little different. But the Fresno High guys were just, you know, great. And obviously they had a great catcher, Pat Corrales, to go with all of them. So it just all adds to their lore. And the other thing is in those days, in the 50s, you had – high school teams playing college freshman teams, and Fresno Bullard, that was their only loss was to a college freshman team, so that's why they're not undefeated. But you know, if you look at their whole season of who they played and what they did, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, they went 25-1 that year. They averaged 11 runs a game, 15 shutouts in those 25 wins. And one thing into it, I was talking to Jason as he was leaving. People don't remember that actually Tom Seaver came a few years after that. Tom Seaver wasn't
exactly,
even on that team.
Yeah.
He was in eighth grade during that season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine. Yeah. We had Dick Ellsworth, Jim Maloney, probably throwing in the low 90s in high school. Yeah. We got this eighth grader and Tom Seaver is going to be pretty good too.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, we're against the break here, but always love our conversations. Again, go visit Cal High Sports, see the greatest baseball teams of all time, read a little bit more about them. They do it for basketball, do it for football as well, and the rankings. Mark, always appreciate your time. Love conversing with you and following you on Twitter and all that great stuff about high school sports.
Thanks very much, Paul. Always fun. Always a pleasure.
All right, Mark Tennis, Cal High Sports. After we come back from the break, we'll be wrapping up the show. This has been a great show, fun-filled show. Thank you guys for listening. Really, really appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.